So good, man. I hope you all are having a great day today. Anybody have a good Thanksgiving here? Anybody? Yeah. Oh, man, y'all are rowdy today. That's good. Man, I had a great Thanksgiving. My wife and I and kids were down in Dallas, and we are so glad to be back. Man, we've already had an incredible day today. You'll see probably on if you jump on Insta or on Facebook, you can see Pastor Richie, his dad came down from Detroit to see their little baby. But the dad and I have been planning for about a month for a secret baptism. He's never been baptized, and so he actually had Richie, surprised Richie this morning, and had Richie baptize him. I mean, it was a cry fest. It was incredible, first service, and so it's so cool to see dad and father and son connecting that way. And so, man, I'm just on cloud nine right now today, but I'm also on cloud nine because I got a good friend here, Cody Wilson, with us from Michigan as well. And I love this weekend that you came down because I don't know if you saw the score yesterday.
See, I had some gear on.
He did have some gear on, and then I went
and
over
I
to
felt,
see him.
I felt ashamed with my Michigan gear on.
So he's a Michigan fan, but he actually played wide receiver as well at Central Michigan, was a stud at Central Michigan. And then he was better than me because he actually went on to the NFL and played a little while for the Detroit Lions. If we got any Lions fans in the house, I don't know, it'd be kind of weird in Tennessee.
But another superior team in the NFL.
They are, it's NFL, man, if you make it to the NFL. But Cody and I, we've been friends for about 5 years. We met in Houston at a weekend kind of conference retreat thing and just connected and really just over years we've just been following each other, tracking with each other. What I love about Cody is, for one, he loves football, which, you know, that's big for me, but more importantly than that is he loves Jesus so much and he loves his family. Jen is down here and their son Bryce is here with us this weekend as well, and he carries just an intimacy and a passion for the things of God. And so this morning he's going to be speaking. And so here's what I want to do. I want to pray over him, but I also just want to pray. This morning I was praying. I was actually sitting in the lobby getting ready to pick him up, and I just felt like the Lord kept saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. I feel like I've been in a season trying to navigate new, fresh things that the Spirit is doing here. Trust me. And so I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes, and I just want you to say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I trust you with what you want to teach this morning. I trust you with what you want me to feel and experience this morning. What you want to show me and reveal me. Can we just say, God, I trust you as much as we can. We say, I trust you. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you. You, man, you are a gift, the gift. And we invite you to come today to make much of Jesus, to point us to our King. And we just ask that you fill Cody up to a new measure this morning as he opens up the word that you inspired, Holy Spirit, and that we would recognize your heart for us, what your heart always has been and what it always will be. And that we would encounter the living God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up for Cody. Love you, man.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Really excited to be here. My wife, Jenna, put your hand up. Let them see you a little bit. She's this is the first service yet. We got an 11-month-old. We haven't slept in a year. And so I'm super excited she's here. And we're super thankful to be at Christ Fellowship in Kingsport. One, because just being around you guys, man, there's such a love here. And being around Derek, I told Derek after last service, he has like the best speaking voice ever, but he just carries so much authority and power and vision. And I just, you guys know this, like so blessed to be led by him and so happy that even we're friends. And it's super warm down here. That's exciting. We've already gotten 8 inches of snow. It's melted. But even today, I walked outside and I was like, this is incredible. But we're super happy to be here. My wife's here, so you kind of saw it. I actually brought a picture. Me and my wife, we both went to Central Michigan. She played volleyball there. That's our son, Bryce, who's in little daycare right now. It was about 30 degrees when we did that. So we were outside for 10 minutes. We ran inside because he was not happy. That's like the one picture he's not like this. Because he was crying a little bit. But we met at Central Michigan. And my coach who recruited me at Central Michigan, I heard he's really popular down here, a guy named Butch Jones. You guys heard of him? Brick by brick. But if you start with the wrong brick, everything goes astray. Anyway, so we're working on sleep. And I told Derek yesterday, because Tennessee and Michigan football, not doing as great, but in the kingdom, it says the last will be first. And I told him, if we played our players, we might be as good as Ohio State is. So need to do that. But I want to bring up kind of just transitioning. You guys are obviously jumping into Christmas here. And celebrating the coming of Jesus, kind of starting this series, this holy moment. And I'm really believing that today, man, there's a holy moment in this place, but we're celebrating the coming of Jesus. And there's this reality in life, you know someone cares about you when they come to you, especially when they come to you in need. I always realize with my friends who my friends really are, if it's moving day and I invite my friends, I know who really cares about me if they show up for moving day. Anyone with me there? If you want to know who your true friends are, move and you'll see you show up. Someone's clapping. It's the way to find out. But there's this reality when someone cares about you, they come, and they don't just verbalize it, but they show it. And even as we talk about Christmas, like we're celebrating the coming of Jesus, that he didn't just say he loves us, but he came to this earth, that he entered into our mess, into our sin, and he showed his love for us. And that's what we're celebrating a little bit. I remember football games. My parents would come and they'd travel. I had a friend who, you know, experienced one of his mom's past. Remember, we drove 14 hours that night to be with him. Why? Because we care about him. I was thinking, this probably isn't the best. It's our first child, so we're still figuring out how to get him to sleep. But at 3 a.m., I knew I wasn't supposed to get him out of the crib, and I just couldn't take it anymore. So I kind of got in the crib. I got a picture of that, which is some skill. I'm learning that not a lot of people can get in the crib, but I've been in there too many times. But there's this reality, many of you guys know as a father, like when your children need you, you enter in, that you meet them where they're at. We celebrate Christmas, what it represents is Father God sending his son Jesus to rescue us, to save the things that were lost, to reveal the heart of the Father, that we recognize someone cares about you when they come to you, especially in a time of need. I remember being 16 years old with some of my buddies, into some mischief. Anyone ever ding dong ditched in here? Yeah, I'm sorry. When you're younger, you think it's fun, and then you get a house, and me and Jenna have a house, and I'm like, if someone did that to me, I'd be so mad. But I remember growing up, we ding dong ditch a little bit, and then we discovered this new way of ding dong ditching from my cousin who lived in Ohio. Don't trust people from Ohio. And just mess it around. But what they do is they take fishing line, they tie it to the door knocker, they go about 200 yards away, and they pull the fishing line so it would knock. And so the person would come out and be like, who's here? And different than if you're doing it like in person, as soon as they would close the door, they knock it again. And it'd be like, what the heck is going on? We're like, we're 16-year-old dudes. We're like, this is the greatest idea ever, right? And so when I was about 16 years old, 10 o'clock in our subdivision, dark at night, and we're like, we're going to go do this. So we went up. I had some fishing line with my buddy. There was four of us, but just two of us went up there because we were all about it. And mind you, at this point, you gotta think, no smartphones, so there's no light. So we got like a flip phone, which are not bright. So I got my buddy holding a flip phone, and I'm trying to tie this thing around the door knocker. And mind you, it's like kind of, I'm just freaking out that someone's going to open the door. And so at one point we finally got it, but then it kind of knocked a little bit. So we run into these woods that are like 100 yards away. And then like after 10 minutes, we worked up the courage. We're like, okay, dude, we got to go did it. So I remember getting this thing and we're walking through the front yard, just undoing the line. And of course, while I'm crossing the street, we haven't seen a car. As I'm crossing the street, right in the middle, a car comes, lights on me, and I'm like a deer in the headlights. And I see it. And so I drop the thing and all of us run back into the woods. Of course, the car hits the fishing line and pulls it. So then the knocker's like, and we're freaking out. At this point, we've been at it for like 20 minutes and two of my buddies weren't involved. They're like, they didn't want to do this. And we're like, dude, you guys got to go get in there. Like, we've been doing all of it. So sure enough, the guys that don't want to be doing this walk into the front yard. By this point, the dude that owns the house is like, something's going on here. And so we're looking from like, I'm like 100 yards away and my buddies, and we see this dude crouching behind a bush. And my buddies are right there, and he goes, so what do you guys think you're doing? At that point, we freak out, pandemonium, we run into the woods. This guy gets in his car, and he starts chasing us down. Maybe most of us think God's like that. He's chasing me down. He came to get me. And so we run into the woods. At this point, I'm like, I'm not going to call dad. Is anyone like that? Like when you're growing up, you're like, calling dad, I'll get in trouble. Calling mom, better idea. So call my mom, call her up, and I'm like, Mom, we're in trouble. I need you to meet me at this intersection. Just park the car there. What do you mean? What's going on? I just need you to come. So my mom just comes in faith and parks her car by this stop sign. And sure enough, I see the door. It's like one of those sliding van doors. You know what I mean? And so sure enough, all four of us run out of the bushes and we jump into the car and we're like, go, go, go. This guy's still driving around. But what I realized in that moment, my mom cares about me. How did I know she cares about me? Because when I cried out to her, when I called her, even in my mess, even when I was doing dumb things, she came to me in my time of need. And in the next 3 weeks, we talk about this holy moment. We're talking about this holy moment of Jesus coming to earth in our mess, in our sin, when maybe you felt unlovable or didn't deserve it. Christ said, I will die for the ungodly. Christ said, I will come for those who are sinning. And even in our mess, Christ says, the love of the Father is so overwhelming. I will come and meet my people where they are at. How much different is that if you talk to someone on streets, or maybe you're here today, of what we think about God? I've invited my friends to church before, and they're like, dude, if I step into your church, I'll be struck down by lightning. Most of us think God is mad at us, that he wants to punish us, that he is distant, that he's not involved. But as we look at the Christmas stories, one of the things we realize is that God is near, God is present, God is entering in, and Jesus took on flesh to reveal who God is. If you've seen Jesus, he said, you've seen the Father. If you want to know who God is, just look at who Jesus is, because he is the perfect theology and expression of God the Father. And if you believe something about who God is that's in contradiction to what Jesus revealed him to be, then you're in error and might not be in truth. That Jesus comes to reveal the heart of the Father. And at this Christmas, it's important for us to remember that the season of Christmas says this: God came, God cares, and God is near. That the God of the universe doesn't just speak it, but he demonstrates his own love in this, that he died for us when we wanted nothing to do with him. Where he said, I loved you first. I'm not going to love you more when you do more, or love you less when you do less, but I love you not dependent on who you are, but dependent on who God is. It is his nature to overflow in love. And as followers of Jesus, we don't just love people, but our nature becomes love. That we learn how to become like the Father. He's inviting us in to become like love. That Christmas says he came, he sees you, he knows your pain. Jesus entered into darkness, he entered into the world. Any pain you felt, the Father can reveal and understand it because he's felt it in human form. Any ridicule you've been under, he can relate. That Jesus put on flesh and came to this earth. I love what it says in John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. Do you catch that? He loved the world. And so he sent his son. I think many times it's like, well, there's God the Father and he's mad, but Jesus came and died for our sins. But if Jesus didn't come and cover our sins, like God the Father would be angry at us. It's like, I think sometimes we read that verse and it's like Jesus snuck out of heaven, died for us. And now God the Father sees Jesus and he doesn't see us. We're hidden in Christ. Obviously, like Jesus took the punishment. He took the price. He made us right with God. But Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about us. He came to reveal the Father's heart for us. That God sent his son. It says God so loved, and he so loved us before we did anything. Why? Because it's the nature of a father to love his children. And don't be confused. Whatever you came in here struggling with, whatever's been done to you, whatever you've done to someone else, the love of the Father has not changed. He loves you because you are his, and you are valuable to him. And he has a plan for your life. And his love for you will not be changed. His love is constant. And he's inviting you in this Christmas. The question isn't, did God come? The question is, will you come to him? Will you respond to him? It's interesting, even with my son, when he was 3 months old, this is before he could like hit the milestone of rolling over, which is funny, as first-time parents, it's like the most epic thing ever when your kids hit the milestones, you know what I mean? And I'm like the obnoxious, proud dad, because I guess that's just who I am. And I remember my son would sit on the floor and I'd look over him as he's like this, and I would look over him and I'd just say, buddy, I love you so much. I care about you so much. Man, you're so powerful. Just speaking identity into him about who God created him to be, that you're a leader. Man, God's spirit is on you. And it's funny, I don't think he could understand me when I spoke that to him at 3 months old. And you know what? He didn't do anything to deserve my affirmation. He can't even walk or do the chores yet. He will. But why am I speaking that over him? Because I love him. He is mine and he is precious to me. And the greatest love you've ever felt for someone on this earth, whether it's your child, whether it's a friend, is only a glimpse of the love the Father has for each and every one of you. And I remember, I have a similar friend with you guys named Jamie Winship. who I've talked to a lot. Anyone enjoy Jamie? And some of you guys know when Jamie's in town, it's like you're drinking from a fire hose. It's just so much wisdom. And I remember one of the things he said, he was talking to a group of people at our church about hearing God's voice. And he said, God always speaks with a purpose. And I was like, man, that's so good. God always speaks with a purpose, right? And so I remember a few years later, I started from my relationship with them, started like journaling a lot, even as Derek was sharing this morning, like in practicing hearing God's voice and saying like, God, what do you want me to know today? And just writing down the thoughts that would come through my mind and just learning and growing and hearing God's voice. And what I realized is the Lord was way more prone to tell me who I was before what to do. Because I think that God knows when you know who you are, you're gonna know what to do. But he was way more excited about affirming me an identity than commissioning me to action. And within that, man, some of you guys know and you've experienced this, and if you haven't, know this is for you too. When the Lord speaks to you, it's in love, it's in affirmation, it's not in accusation or condemnation or belittling you or self-deprecating, but when the Lord speaks, he speaks love over you. I love you, you're my child who I created you, made in my image, right? Chosen, valuable, forgiven, and that he has a name for you. And so I remember after 2 years of doing this and this affirmation and just leaning into that, and here's the thing, I felt like the Lord said this to me a few weeks. He said, my love for you never changes, but if you don't spend any time with me, you might forget. And for some of you, the Lord's love for you never changes, but if you're always on the move, you ever try to hug someone that's on the move? We call that tackling. There's something about being still and opening yourself up to receive God's love that will change your life. That you don't grow in the kingdom by striving, you grow by abiding. You don't grow in the kingdom by achieving, you grow in the kingdom by receiving God's love. And there's something about sitting in a place of receiving God's love for you. I felt like the Lord said this to me, the people that love me the most are those who have been loved by me the most. That it's not in your ability to love God, it's in your ability to receive his love. That love for God will come when you receive his love for you. And then as you understand how he sees you and others, it all starts with our ability to receive his love, to love others, to love ourselves, but it all starts with our ability to receive love. And so I'm in this place receiving God's affirmation and love one morning, and this is the thought I have. I must be so insecure if God only speaks on purpose. I must be so insecure if he has to constantly remind me of who I am. And I had that thought and I left. And me and Jenna, at that point in our life, we were out in Redding, California, going to a church by the name of Bethel. We were students there for 9 months. And that's all I thought. I didn't pray anything about it, but it's funny. The Lord hears your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. And so when you go to him, you don't have to hide what you're thinking. He already knows. And so it was interesting. I remember a couple weeks later, I'm walking out of school, and you guys can see my wife. She's like super beautiful, and she's incredible, and has a servant heart. So we're walking out of cool school. It's Northern California. It looks good. I put my arm around her, and I'm just like, babe, you know, I'm just like, I love you so much. I care about you so much. You mean so much to me. You're so beautiful. And as I spoke that over her, I felt like the Lord said, Cody, that's how I speak to you. You didn't tell Jenna you loved her because she needed to hear it. You told her you loved her because it was the overflow of your heart for her. You couldn't contain yourself. And when I look at you, I don't just speak identity over you to solidify your identity. It's because when I look at you, I can't help myself but lavish you with love. It says in the scriptures that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And from the overflow of God's heart, as he looks at you, his children, he speaks life. He speaks identity, and he cuts away the lies. He cuts away the falseness, and he restores you to who you were created to be. He restores you in love, into your original identity. He restores you in your purpose. Because regardless of what you've done, regardless of the choices you make, when the Father looks at you, he sees his child through the blood of Jesus. And Jesus comes, what does he reveal? This is God's idea. We didn't write this story of like, okay, Jesus comes to earth. The Father was like, I'm gonna author this story. I'm gonna reveal my love for the humanity, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so this question isn't, did God come, right? The question is, will we come to him? Remember getting married at the altar, a holy moment, right? Being at the altar, you know, the bridesmaids come down, we got some beautiful music, and I got the most beautiful bride, right? And I'm waiting, and some of you guys might have experienced this, they close the doors, at least at our wedding, and then they open, and the bride comes, and so there's like 20-second delay, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but I remember having this thought, like, well, I hope she doesn't run out on me, like, I hope she still comes. And so I'm waiting with anticipation, And think of the heartbreak I would have felt, you know, like we get ready, we have this banquet, this holy moment. And of course, you know, Jenna turned the aisle, and as she's turning the aisle, I'm walking her watch down, and my heart is filled with love for her, tears in my eyes. I cry a lot. And I was tearful. And in that moment, man, I felt the Lord speak to me. He said, "This is how I feel about you." And know that today the Lord is at the altar. And he's inviting you, come and be with me. Come in into covenant with me, like just like a marriage. Come and do life with me. Come and walk with me. There might be highs and lows, but Christianity is about living life with God. The word sin, right? It's separation from God. So what's hitting the mark if sin is missing the mark? Hitting the mark is doing life with God. And that he wants to have a holy moment with you today. He wants to have a holy moment of communion with you every day. And not only does he want to have a holy moment with you, we'll go into some scripture in Luke 2, he wants to have a holy moment through you. Because here's the truth, God is near, God is here, and there's this arc in scripture, right? You look at from the Old Testament there, some of you understand they like worshiped in a temple, they had to go to this location, and then Jesus comes, and he puts a face on God, and then Jesus dies, is resurrected, dies for our sins, restores us in right relationship, is ascended, and then the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus at Christmas, Emmanuel, right? You've heard that, God with us. But then the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit's even closer. It's not just Emmanuel, God with us, it's Holy Spirit, God in us. That he's alive, he can't get any closer, he's closer than your breath, he's closer than the lungs, he's living and sustaining you. Even as you're here today, that God is near and God is here. And do you have eyes to see and ears to hear what he's doing? Do you recognize when he moves in a room? Do you recognize when you're at your family or at work? Do you hear what his spirit's doing and how he's moving? And I think there's this interesting story in Luke 2, that Jesus is a young child. He's already been born at this point, and his parents are taking him to the temple to be consecrated, which was a religious law at that time, to be consecrated to the Lord. And as you read the story, I guarantee you there's hundreds of people at the temple, but there's two people that recognize Jesus, and we're going to look at one of them. His name's Simeon, that he recognizes Jesus. And what is unique about Simeon, that all these people walked right by Jesus, but Simeon saw Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to recognize what Jesus is doing in my life. I want to recognize what Jesus is doing in a community. I want to partner with him in relationship and be a part of his kingdom expanding. Is anyone else with me? Come on, let me hear you. And here is the truth, that God wants to break into situations. If the Holy Spirit's in you, believe me, he wants to get out, because he loves the world just as much as he loves you, and he wants his children to know he loves them. And we, as his sons and daughters, get to reveal the love of the Father through our actions, through our words, but also through partnering with his Holy Spirit in situations. That we don't just have to know about God intellectually, but we can experience in him emotionally. Through the Holy Spirit, it says in Romans 5:5, that God poured out his love for us and makes it known through his Holy Spirit in our hearts. And so Jesus comes into this scene and someone recognizes him. It says this, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel." So he's waiting for this Messiah to come. He's waiting for Jesus to be revealed. And this is what it says. I love this. And it says this, "And the Holy Spirit was on him." It's the first thing you recognize. What's unique about Simeon? He's righteous, he's devout, and the Holy Spirit is on him. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be known as someone that the Holy Spirit is on. And something happens because the Holy Spirit is on him. The next verse shows what the Holy Spirit does. It says, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." So there's this special revelation. The Holy Spirit said to him, "Simeon, you're going to see Jesus before you die." And there's this place when you're in intimacy with the Holy Spirit and with God the Father and with Jesus Christ, that intimacy leads to information. That deep relationship leads to deep revelation. I know in my relationship with my wife, I know her voice better than any of you know her voice. And I know her thoughts a lot of times. I know the way she smells, right? And at this point in our marriage, some of you guys have been married way longer than us. Congrats. And I sometimes know what she's going to do before she even does it, because now I know her nature. And I believe God wants us to step into his place in this relationship with him, to be like, he wants us to know his nature in a way that we know what he'd do before he even acts what he does. We know how his aroma smells, right? We see when he's working. We know how to partner with him in what he's doing and walking with him, that we would be hosts of the Holy Spirit. Even being down here meeting people today, there is something about Southern hospitality that is unique. But we understand my wife is an incredible host. When we have people over, it's like, what does it mean to be a good host? When your guests want something, it's like you get it for them right away, and sometimes you notice it before they do. My wife, she's such a good host. I'll be on the couch with a drink. She'll see it like a quarter full, and she'll come and fill it up before I even ask for her to fill it up. Because she's just like, every inclination, when we leave rooms, I always ask Jenna, what was going on in the room? Because she just notices things. She's this incredible host. And we talk about hosting the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? It means looking to the Holy Spirit, his desires, his emotions, what he's doing, and that we would be there to serve and walk alongside him, that we would host his presence. And I've said this at the other services. I've never taught this scripture. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone teach this scripture, but it jumped out at me. Because I feel like this scripture is about Simeon, but I think it represents Christ's fellowship in this house, that you are a people that host God's presence, that God's supernatural power and presence is going to move here because you welcome the Holy Spirit. And you're going to see what ends up happening when the Holy Spirit's moving. He exalts Jesus. He lifts up and magnifies Jesus. That I always say the Holy Spirit is like the PR agent for Jesus. He's going to make him look good. And in every situation, he's always asking, man, how can we make Jesus be glorified in this situation? You walk into Starbucks or work, your school, your family, the Holy Spirit is there, and he's inviting you into a holy moment. That Jesus just didn't come 2,000 years ago, and that was a holy moment, but he's continually announcing his kingdom and wants to partner with us in announcing his kingdom. And so I love what's next. The Holy Spirit reveals something, and it says, the next thing is this, moved by the Holy Spirit. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit brings revelation and points us to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit moves us into situations and partners with us in revealing God and revealing the love of the Father to creation. It says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required. And this is what it says, Simeon moved there, he intersected, he saw Jesus, knew it was him by the power of the Spirit and the revelation that the Spirit gave him. He was moved there, and in that moment he went over to Jesus. I don't know if Mary and Joseph were cool with this, but he just scooped him up, I guess. And it says this, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. He's like, now that I've seen the Messiah, I can die in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Man, have you seen salvation in Jesus? Have you seen someone else experience salvation? For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I love that the Holy Spirit revealed something, moves Simeon, and then the Holy Spirit gives him prophetic utterance or gives him the words to describe who this person is. And I love this in verse 33, because what happens is a holy moment just happened. It says this, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. And I read that and I go back to verse 27, it says, moved by the Holy Spirit. What if when he felt that prompting, Simeon didn't move? He would have missed what he was waiting for. He would have missed the holy moment that God had made him and created him for. He would not be in the scriptures. And how many times have you felt moved or this nudge or this prompting? I know for me, and we just ignore it or we're not obedient to it or fear takes over. I know I've missed times and there's grace for those moments. But I want to be someone in my life that continually is saying yes to God when he's moving. Because here is the truth. If you want to be a part of a holy moment, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a part of a holy moment, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I think about Simeon at the end of the day. You know what he was like? He probably was like, what he said, like, I've seen salvation. That changed my life. Have you experienced Jesus in your life? Have you experienced salvation and transformation? Have you allowed him to work through you in such a way? Nothing you can do. Maybe your self-talk that's negative, anything about you, you're like, man, I'm not qualified. I don't have what it takes. Man, God wants to use you in a unique way. For some of you, God is using you, and he wants you to know, man, I'm with you in what you're doing. I see you. I'm proud of you. Thank you for moving. But wherever you're at today, God is calling you into something deeper. My next step might not look like your next step, but whatever it is, maybe it's coming up at the end of service for prayer. Maybe it's talking to a coworker about Jesus. Maybe it's sharing your faith with a family. Maybe it's getting baptized. Whatever God's prompting in you, if you want to be a part of a holy moment, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I remember I had a holy moment in my life about 5-6 years ago that changed my whole life. It started, I had a buddy of mine who sent me this documentary about the Holy Spirit called The Holy Ghost. So I knew it was like super serious because when you get in the Holy Ghost language, you know, we're getting serious here. And so I started watching this documentary. The beginning of it started with these guys praying and evangelizing in like Salt Lake City and different areas. And as they were telling people about Jesus, they would pray for him and they invite the Holy Spirit to come. And these people would have experiences with the Holy Spirit, like even physically, they'd like feel his presence and they give their lives to Jesus. And I'm like, something in me as I'm watching, I'm like, what is this? Like, I literally was like, I didn't even know we could do this as like Christians. That's what I thought. And something in me was like burning with passion inside because I was like, man, I want to see this stuff happen. This is like awesome. And there was this passion burning inside of me as I was watching. It was like the Holy Spirit was working and moving and illuminating things. And so I remember I texted my buddy who sent it to me, Tyler, and I said, dude, this is crazy. We were going to this worship night tonight by our church. I said, let's go to this worship night. We need to try this. Let's find someone who doesn't know Jesus and pray for him like this. And, you know, that was like wishful thinking. And then he texts me back 5 minutes later and he says, dude, my sister's coming tonight. She's from Michigan State. She's in a sorority. She's not walking with Jesus. We got to pray for her. And initially my reaction was like, oh crap, we're going to do this. Right? Because I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm not qualified to do this. But there was something stirring in me that the Holy Spirit was moving me. And so I remember we got to this night and I don't know what to say. So in the last song, I didn't have like a formula. So I remember just saying, God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? And I had these thoughts come to my mind. I'm like, I don't know if it's God. I don't know if I'm making it up. But I remember I wrote them down. I felt like the Lord said, ask her what she's waiting for and ask her, do you believe I love you? And so after the night got done, I go over to my buddy Tyler. I'm like, okay, dude, go grab her and we'll talk to her. And he's like, no, dude, I'm not going to talk to her. Like, she thinks I'm weird because I always talk to her about Jesus. You go grab her. I'm like, oh, this is going well. And so I'm like, I don't want to go talk to her. Like, this is so outside of my comfort zone at this time in my life. And so I remember walking around the room for 5 minutes. And finally, I got to the place where I was like, if I leave tonight and don't do this, because I felt like, man, God has this holy moment waiting. And if I miss this, I'm going to miss this holy moment. And so the fear of like regretting going home and being like, oh, I'm going to feel so like disobedient. Like I missed it if I leave tonight. Not that God's going to be mad at me for that, but he's just inviting me into something. And God is inviting each and every one of us into something. And so I remember finally I worked up the courage, grabbed her. We went over to the side of the room. My buddy Tyler's right here. I'm right here. Karina's right there. And so I just asked her like, hey, I was just praying during the service and felt like the Lord asked this question, like, what are you waiting for? And I didn't know what her reaction was going to be, but I noticed like tears started welling in her eyes. And she starts going on this thing about, you know, how she's in a sorority, how she's been blackout drunk the last 3 weekends. She doesn't know what she's doing with her life. She feels so empty. And I just started speaking like I did the day, like, well, God's a father and he loves you. And he sent his son Jesus to like rescue you. And man, you're his beloved child and he cares about you. And he wants you to know his love. And I said, do you believe God loves you? And she went on to say, you know, I've been to church sometimes. I know everyone says God loves you, but if I'm being honest, I don't really believe he loves me. And the next sentence came out of my mouth after I said it. I was like, what did I just say? And I said, well, listen, we're going to pray for you right now. You're going to experience God's spirit and his love, and you're going to know he's here and he's near. And so we're going to pray for you right now. Is that okay? And she's like, okay. And then I was like, what the heck did I just say? And internally, I was like, God, you better do something because I just like, you better back me up right now. And so I'm just jacked on adrenaline. And I remember we laid hands and I didn't know what to pray. I just prayed what they prayed in the video. And we just said, God, we just pray right now. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask that you'd fill Karina with your presence from her head to her toes. She'd experience who you are. Maybe some of you right now, you're like, well, I'm feeling that. And I'm closing my eyes. Places I've been, they're like, pray with your eyes open to see what God's doing. I was like, I don't want to see. I'm scared. So I close my eyes and I open them and I look and I'm like, did anything happen? And I remember her eyes were like, yeah. And so I did what they did in the video. I said, more, Lord, in Jesus' name, increase it. God, we ask for more of your presence, more of your spirit. Just turn it up. And she starts sobbing. My buddy starts spontaneously laughing, which I guess the Holy Spirit moved in joy on him or something. I didn't even know it. At that point in my life, I was like, what's happening? I was like, dude, stop being weird. You're freaking your sister out. But like he experienced God's joy, like he manifested God's joy. And we kept praying and his sister started sobbing and weeping and shaking and trembling under God's power. And her feet even started shaking and we held her up and it was amazing. Like after 2 minutes, we were like, so do you want to give your life to Jesus? And it was the easiest like salvation ever. And she was like, yeah. And man, in that moment, I've seen salvation in my own life and at other times, but saw salvation in front of me. And there's something inside of each and every one of us as believers that there is a supernatural DNA that God has put in us through the power of his Spirit. And he wants to work in supernatural ways through us. But that starts by relationship with the Holy Spirit, of knowing what he's doing and partnering in it, not in our own strength, but in God's strength through us. But he's going to bring revelation. He's going to move us. He's going to give us words that are not our own, and he's going to breathe on what we're doing. And it's going to bring supernatural power. And just like Simeon that night, it was a holy moment for me. And I'll tell you what, when I was deciding to enter into that night, I'll tell you what, I didn't think about 6 years later being here. But now I look back on my life and I know that night, it changed everything I thought about God. And that moment, when you step into what God's doing, it has the ramifications at times to change the direction that you're walking. It has the ramifications to change the way you think about God, that he is closer than you think. And he is here today. And he is inviting you in at Christ Fellowship more and more as you guys are already walking in. What he's leading you into, what he's prompting you into, that there's a holy moment everywhere you go. And this week, as you go to Starbucks, as you go to school, as you go to work, man, have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart of courage to speak and have people to keep you accountable. And if you miss it, that's okay. You might feel like, man, I fell down. Get back up. It's okay. God loves you. He's going to forgive you. Keep moving forward with him. He's not mad at you. But we would be a people. We would be a church that is making God known everywhere we go. And we would experience and remember the holy moment of Jesus coming this year, but we would also see holy moments every day of our life as Jesus is still moving and alive and carrying good news in this day and age. And so I'm just gonna pray for us as we go that we'd be people that do that. So Father, I just thank you for Christ Fellowship. I thank you for what you're doing here, God. I thank you for the privilege of being with these people today, God, that you love them so deeply, Jesus, that you care for them so deeply, God. And I pray that no matter what's happened in our life, whether there's abuse, God, whether there's abortions, God, whether there's divorce, whatever is in our life, whether we're caring or struggling with mental health, God, you are the God of love and nothing will disqualify us from your love. Nothing will disqualify us from us being your children. So I just pray for each and every person, God, that feels shame, God, that you'd break shame right now in Jesus' name, that people that are carrying guilt about their past, they would know that your blood is greater and your sacrifice is bigger and that their past has been nailed to the cross. In Jesus' name, break shame, God, break guilt. And God, we just pray against fear in the moments that you prompt us and when you move us, God, give us courage and power through your Holy Spirit, that you're not a God of timidity, but you're a God of power, of love, and of self-control, Jesus. And so, God, we open ourselves up and we just say, pour out your Spirit on us. We thank you, God, that you're alive in us, God, but we want more of who you are. We want courage from your Spirit. We want the fruit of your Spirit, God, your peace, your presence, your goodness, your joy, your love, your faithfulness, your patience, and self-control, God. Pour out your Spirit. And we thank you, God, that that fruit is the byproduct of us being connected to the vine and abiding in you, God. That we don't have to strive for it, but we abide in you, Jesus. Let us be a people that abide in you, God. Give us your eyes, Jesus. Give us your ears. And we just, even as we go into this song, God, we just thank you and we ask you, and we thank you that you're speaking. We say, God, what do you want to say to me today? What do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to step into?